Hello again, folks. Daily Telegraph recently revealed that in the preceding year, the Conservative government had allowed just short of 1 million foreign nationals, migrants, to settle in the UK. That figure is four times as high as the immigration rate under the Tony Blair Labour regime of the late 90s and 2000s. In the 2019 election, the Conservatives famously took massive amounts of votes from Labour, especially in the North, because of Brexit and implicitly mass immigration. I decided to script this video because I didn't want it to become an angry rant or risk triggering the YouTube censors. Standard practice on this subject is to point out the negative aspects of immigration and oftentimes falling into the trap of blaming various other groups and peoples. The real heart of the issue, though, is not the secondary causes and after effects, but the fact that our government and political system is chronically dysfunctional and isn't doing what it is supposed to do. And it hasn't done so for many years. Some would say it has never actually enacted the will of the people at all. When I saw that the Tory government had allowed 1 million foreign nationals to settle in Britain against the express wishes of those who had given them votes and support, I then went on social media to see what the response would be of the various pundits and influencers who litter the centre-right of politics in our country. As I expected, their response was pathetic. Their main concern is voicing concern without having anyone call them racists. There's talk of housing issues, suppressing wages, losing support among the native working class, of schools and hospitals, and the simple fact we're running out of space. All of these issues will then in turn be debated and dissected and watered down. Excuses will be made, blame will be shifted, and then there's always the old, we have to keep Labour out, sloganeering. The Labour Party have never allowed 1 million foreign nationals to settle in our country in a single year. The Labour Party have not ruled Britain since the beginning of Barack Obama's first term in office. This isn't to say that things would be better under Labour, they wouldn't. But if we lived under a liberal democracy and the people are sovereign and the people voted consistently for the Tories on the pledge that they would reduce immigration, then we can quite rightly ask why the will of the people has been so completely ignored and why people continue to vote for them. I've never ever voted Tory. I'm not responsible for them shipping in what amounts to a city the size of Liverpool in a single year. This is really a question for Conservative voters to answer. Why is it that people continue to show support for a party which lies in their face and betrays the core principles of democracy? The rank and file of right-wing punditry in Britain are fond of using weak and false arguments to muddy the waters. They will say the government are weak or incompetent, but this is clearly not true. The importation of such vast numbers of people into our country requires entire governmental departments and bureaucracies, managerial expertise and study groups. Hundreds of thousands of people have to be processed every year, year after year. This isn't a blunder, it's active policy. And yet if the people are sovereign and their will must be enacted, then why does this huge infrastructure even exist? If politicians are there to represent the public will, then why are there nudge units and perception management departments to confuse and mislead us all by concocting narratives helpful to the establishment? The discourse around racism and xenophobia is in many ways squid ink to confuse and demoralise people. The real conversation we need to be having is on power. If liberal democracy is grounded on the principle that the people are sovereign and the will of the people is completely brushed aside, then by definition we are not living in a democracy, we're living in something else. It isn't like we're talking about a minor issue. It's not like we were promised 5,000 NHS beds and only got 4,000. They have literally done the exact opposite of what people voted for by a factor of four. The most common question a content creator sees under an essay or video goes something like this. Okay, so what do we do about it? Moaning online doesn't help, voting doesn't work, so what do we do? And in truth, nobody really has an answer to it. the people who vote Tory and are happy to be betrayed and lied to legitimise the lies in the process because the Tories, or whichever party, can claim to be representing the will of the people, even while they're obviously in the act of doing the complete opposite of what the people actually voted for. So then the more despondent among us will advise disconnecting from the system and giving it up as a lost cause, which is the camp I've found myself in for the last few years. The problem here, though, is that the policies you oppose do not stop existing and being implemented because you didn't bother voting. And then there's the option of voting for a renegade party, which may offer something of a bee sting before being banned, bankrupted, or falling apart through lack of funds and constant vilification by the media. I was recently reading Greg Johnson's review of Academic's new book, The Populist Delusion. His book describes well, using elite theory, that an organised minority of one sort or another will always rule over the disorganised mass. This is exactly what we have today. The ruling class treat with absolute contempt what the popular will actually is. They betray their voters, lie to our faces, and not only fail to deliver on pledges, but do the complete opposite. And it seems there's nothing we can do to change anything about it or influence policy at all. Given that we've now had decades and decades of evils being inflicted on the British people by the ruling class, it's safe to say that they don't care about it because they've not changed course whatsoever. They aren't responsive in any serious way, and will even go so far as to outlaw certain language and opinions and are moving to drastically increase their ability to censor people online. The contempt is palpable and obvious. But isn't this the core of the problem? What we have is a system which calls itself a liberal democracy while it ignores the wishes of the public and outlaws opinions it dislikes. The question then becomes not one of secondary issues, issues which have arisen because the public aren't sovereign, but why it is the public aren't sovereign. Why does this system pretend to be something that it isn't? Greg Johnson refers to the need for a populist ideal in place of the populist delusion. The delusion is believing that the people are sovereign and represented by their elected representatives rather than an organised minority. What I find interesting about what Johnson says on the populist ideal is that the discourse is re-centred on the issue of sovereignty, to quote him, but once we are wise to Machiavelli's trick, the question again becomes about how men in society should be. We return, in short, to the questions of classical political philosophy. The delusion persists because people are in denial that they are not actually living in a democracy. The ideal acknowledges what Johnson describes as Machiavelli's tricks, but grounds discourse in the fact of this being the problem. The focus is on sovereign power, not secondary issues. Either we live in a liberal democracy, or we don't. The aim of the populist ideal, in my view, should be to tear the mask off the Machiavellians and charlatans who run things and expose their power as being illegitimate because they are betraying the values they pretend to represent. The secondary issues, and they are now legion, come about because of the primary issue of corrupt power and institutions, of the will of the people being ignored. As an aside, it's interesting how the issues created by ignoring the public will, such as demographics and identity, have been booby-trapped, laced with moral arsenic so that morally tinged language can be used against those who are not happy. A villager in a rapidly changing area will be placed in a situation where they have to explain why they don't want the newcomers, which will inevitably lead them into the minefield. Yet, if liberal democracy lived up to its promises, they wouldn't have to, because if the politicians are there to serve the people, then they should just get on with it and enacting what will, rather than lecturing people, or as in the famous case of Gordon Brown episode, calling them bigots. I began by touching briefly on the problem of the person who votes for the Conservative Party. We can look again and consider just how deluded these people actually are. In the act of voting for the fake populist Boris Johnson, they're actually participating in the lie. They're gluing the mask onto the face of the Machiavellian establishment and reaffirming the legitimacy of its power. Where we find ourselves now is the worst position of all. What we have is an oligarchy wearing the skin suit of a liberal democracy, pretending its power is legitimate. It's a sort of awful limbo where people wander about confused as to what is happening because they vote, so they think they have power, when they don't, of course. Even power at the national level is being sneakily wafted up into supranational institutions. Our political class are like salesmen who keep us talking at the door while their mates slip out the back with the family treasure. And so what I'd like to see first and foremost is a populism which forces them to either bend to the will of the people, which they can't do, or reveal themselves as a tentacle of global oligarchy. Britain is in the advanced stages of being terraformed into something new. Both our regional and national identities are being abolished, like the ancient woodlands blocking the path of a new high-speed rail link. Nothing which dominates the national conversation was ever voted on. Not the immigration, not the speech codes, not the new sexual agendas, not the climate change accords, not the subversive and insidious power of international bodies and NGOs. If we lived under an outright dictatorship which didn't apologise for itself and didn't pretend to care about what the people actually wanted, it'd be clear and maybe even cathartic that we knew where we stood. In actuality, what we have is a Politburo with a public face, so you can see the bloke you voted for and therefore continue in your delusion. Once again, if the people are sovereign, then why are these things happening which they didn't vote for? Which they explicitly voted against, in actual fact. If they are not sovereign, then why do we pretend that they are? Like Schrodinger's cat, our so-called liberal democracy is either alive or dead, depending on its usefulness to those in power. Nothing can ever change or move forward while we're trapped in this obfuscation and thick fog of deception. I'm not asking for anything extreme. I'm not engaging in hate. I just want a little clarity. After all, it seems nothing threatens our liberal democracy more than the ideals of liberal democracy itself. I'll catch you later, folks.